Guy James Show, and as always, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang.
This is the Quality News Network. In Washington, a U.S. intelligence official reports that initial results from air sampling after North Korea's announced nuclear test reveal no evidence of radioactive particles, as would be expected. A Chinese government official also said their initial testing found no evidence of any airborne radiation. At the United Nations today, the Security Council agreed to wording of the resolution against North Korea for its reported test. It would authorize non-military sanctions. U.S. officials expect members to approve the draft on Saturday. Meanwhile, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice next week will travel to China, South Korea, and Japan to discuss the North Korean issue. In Washington today, Representative Bob Ney pleaded guilty to bribery in connection with the Jack Abramoff lobbying scandal. He is the first member of Congress to be convicted in the influence peddling scandal and could be sentenced up to 10 years in prison. Bipartisan congressional leaders are calling on Ney to resign immediately, something he has not done yet. They vow to expel him. Also on Capitol Hill today, the representative who oversees the House pages testified behind closed doors to the four-member House Ethics Panel investigating the Mark Foley page scandal. He said he tried to stop former Representative Foley from sending emails to a former page. In Florida, Democrats oppose posting notices at polling places to let voters know that any votes cast for former Representative Foley, whose name is still on the ballot, will instead go to his replacement, Republican Joe Negron. In Washington today, President Bush signed the Port Security Bill to protect the 11 million shipping containers that enter the U.S. each year. In London today, the chief of the British Army is trying to explain his recent controversial comments about the Iraq War, which he says were misinterpreted. In the Daily Mail newspaper, he said that Britain should get out of Iraq soon because the continued UK military presence makes the country less secure and exacerbates security problems around the world. Outside Jerusalem today, hundreds of Palestinians scaled a separation wall in the West Bank and clashed with Israeli troops who later used tear gas and rubber bullets to keep them at bay. In the last 2 days, 13 people have died. Also at the United Nations today, South Korea's Ban Ki-moon was formally elected to be the UN's next Secretary General. He will succeed Kofi Annan in January. And a Bangladeshi economist has won the Nobel Peace Prize for the bank he founded, which gives small loans to help lift millions out of poverty. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
This year's Florida orange crop is expected to be the smallest in 15 years, meaning higher orange juice prices for consumers. Florida growers are still suffering from last year's hurricane damage as well as an early cold snap this year. The Commerce Department reports that in September, retail sales fell by 0.4%. A private consumer study found that this month, lower gas prices are improving the consumer's mood. The FCC is delaying today's scheduled vote to approve the merger between AT&T and Bell South. Two Democrats on the commission requested more time for an evaluation of the proposal. A Pennsylvania jury said today that Walmart must pay at least $78 million for violating the state's labor laws. The class action lawsuit involved 187,000 current and former employees who said they were forced to work through rest breaks, and off the clock. Hewlett-Packard has appointed a new chief officer to oversee the company's ethics policies in the wake of the company's media leak scandal. The Liberal Talk Radio News Network, Air America, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, and Home Depot is getting ready to enter the Chinese retail market by partnering with its Asian equivalent Homeway, which owns 14 chain stores in northern China. Light Sweet Crude settled at $58.69 a barrel today and near the close of Wall Street this week. The Dow is up 12 points at 11,960, the NASDAQ up 11, the S&P 500 up 2. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, me strike. Today's Tom Sawyer,
it's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
This is not Bruce Birch. This is Bill O'Brien, and I'm here substituting this evening for Bruce Birch. And it is 5 minutes after the hour. It's a different hour than I usually look at when I'm here. However, I'm usually on earlier in the day, and Bruce is not available for his program this evening. And I was offered the opportunity to come in and pinch hit for Bruce for a couple of hours. This evening, on this Friday evening, today is the 13th, Friday the 13th. I don't know what that means. Now tell me. I am Bill O'Brien, and I asked the folks producing the program what the changes might be in terms of the listenership. And, you know, I've been on most of the time earlier in the day. In the East here, I've been beginning at noon and going from noon to 2. So I'm wondering whether, you know, whether some of you folks out there are obviously regular listeners to Bruce, but whether in fact you've listened to the program that I do earlier, I don't know. So I'm kind of as new at this as you are, but I'm really looking forward to hearing from you. And the only thing I will say is that I'll do the best I can. I love this this whole arrangement. I love this concept of liberal radio. I love the people who are doing the programs. I've met Bruce. I enjoy him immensely. Bob Kincaid, what can you say about Bob Kincaid except that Head On is about Bob Kincaid, I guess. And I really, really enjoy it, really, really committed to this whole effort. I'm not a techie. And so the whole thing amazes me. I was explaining to some friends today about the program, and it's hard to explain because I get so excited, and I don't know how any of it works. I mean, to me, it's just, you know, my expression all the time is it's magic, and I mean it. For me, it is magic. Of course, when I start my car, that's magic too. When I turn the key, if something happens, it's magic. If something doesn't, I call somebody. So I have a... my wife presented me for my birthday a year or 2 years ago absolutely wonderful repair kit of tools and everything that I carry in the trunk of my car. And it took her a while. That was when we first started to go together. Now that she knows me after 2 years much better, she begins to wonder whether that was a waste of time, because she now is convinced. It took me a while to convince her that I know absolutely nothing about those tools. I mean, I walk into a hardware store or into the tools department at a large department store like Walmart or something, and to me it's just like walking on you know, on Pluto or something. And so her argument is, why did I buy you that beautiful tool set? And my answer is, it's very practical. If I break down somewhere, and anybody is kind enough to stop and help me, at least I'll have tools. And that's about as far as it goes. But anyway, welcome to this evening's program. We are at 8 minutes after the hour. Our call-in line number, as you heard in the lead-in, 1-877-443-2366. That's 877, for head-on. Again, I'm a numbers person. I can't remember the letters. I don't know how to punch the letters in on the phone, I guess. I'm slow. 877-443-2366 is the call-in line number. Love to hear from you. And looking forward to it. Obviously, there's an awful lot happening in the world. I'm one of those people, and I guess I got some company. I'm one of those people that believes that an awful lot of the negative things that are happening in the world can probably be, if we trace them to their origins, we probably can find them somewhere here. Between the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean, as they say, which is where the United States of U.S. of A. is, it seems to me that we've got an administration in there that is doing some incredible things around the world. I was reading today, just to share this with you, the he's become one of my favorite columnists, and I don't know how comfortable or familiar you are with him, but he's in the Washington Post. His name is Eugene Robinson. He's very perceptive. I think he's very fair. But again, he's sharp, and there's usually something in his columns worth reading. Anyway, today he was talking about a study that was done about the number of Iraqis killed in this whole adventure that we've been on for for 3.5 years now. And the number that is being thrown around is 650,000. And the president, obviously, when confronted with this, the president absolutely said, no way. You know, no way in the world were there that many Iraqi deaths. And if you remember, the president talked in one of his speeches earlier on about 30,000 Iraqis dead, and then within the last couple of months, he's accepted the fact that it may be 50,000. But this team of researchers adopted the same kind of survey techniques that we used here to do political surveys and phone surveys and everything else, which is a random sampling of Iraqis. And anyway, their numbers come up with is something. And again, they're willing to accept the range. They are claiming 95% accuracy, which means there's a plus or minus 5%. So what they're talking about as a very generous range is somewhere between 400 and 900,000 Iraqis killed during this whole disaster. And of course, the administration absolutely denies that, and it's challenging the methodology, which is, it's interesting because it's the same methodology that the pollsters use and members of the Republican National Committee use to measure the president's poll numbers when they go up. And of course, what they do is they deny them when they go down, and this kind of spinning. But I think Eugene Robinson's column is very, very well taken today. And that's one of the things that has bothered me tremendously about this, is that we've refused to account for Iraqi deaths as well as wounded, obviously. And if you look at the way we deal with the casualties in Iraq, we don't, there's no filming of American casualties coming back. If you listen to Don Imus and those folks, you hear about the rehabilitation of those who are maimed, some of them viciously, in this war. But the implication that you would get from this side of the ocean is that that only Americans are dying in this and the Iraqis aren't. And of course, we know that that's not true. And in fact, the implication is that if Iraqis are dying, it's because they're killing each other in this incendiary situation that exists there. But be that as it may, I thought that Eugene Robinson's piece was well taken, because there's absolutely no question, and he makes this point, and he's trying to be absolutely fair. And he said the point is, whatever, even if you take the low side of the range, which is 400,000, that's, eight times the number that the administration acknowledges or admits to. And what that suggests is that the carnage in Iraq is so much, much worse than any of us first of all, believed it would be. That's one story. But even more than that, it's much more than any of us believed that it is. And again, we tend to attribute what carnage there is to Iraqis killing Iraqis. In fact, it's obviously a lot more serious than that, and a lot more traumatic than that. A very, very bad situation. Again, let me just recommend Eugene Robinson. One of the things that we've been talking about, and we're kind of going towards our first break here in a moment, but one of the things that I've been talking about over the last several days is I was trying to get away from foreign policy a little bit and get back into the domestic policy. And one of the things that we were looking at is the President's No Child Left Behind legislation. There's been some research done on that. It's 5 years old now. And some of the numbers are coming in. Some of the results are coming in. And we had a pretty hot exchange with a couple of callers the other day about the No Child Left Behind. And I thought, since I'm new to this game, and probably you all haven't heard me, I want to tell you very, very honestly that I do welcome your calls and your participation. I would love to hear from you and hear your points of view. I'll go where you want to go. I obviously have a plan. I learned that from President Bush. You got to have a plan, you know. And I do have a plan in case nobody calls, because I think a couple of hours of silence would not be in the best interest of anybody. But I'm more than willing to suspend and to go with your interests. I would love to hear from you. And again, as I say on my own program, and I mean this very sincerely, the success of a program like this, in my promo leading in, we talk about dialogue and we talk about conversation. Bob Kincaid talks about that all the time, about conversation. And the difference between monologue and dialogue. We are woefully deficient in today's society in dialogue and conversation. And I really want conversation. I love to hear people who disagree about issues exchange their points of view and do it in a way which is civil and where both people can walk away and having learned something. I believe in that. I've spent my entire professional career in higher education. It's what I'm committed to. I still believe in it. I haven't wavered it at all. And in this medium, I try desperately to do that. So what I say is whether in fact you think you agree or disagree doesn't really matter. I would just love to hear from you. If you take the time to dial in and express your views on the air, we sure owe you a listen, a very serious listen, and I commit and promise you that we'll do that. We're at 15 minutes after the hour, so let's pause, take a short, very short break, and for a commercial message or two. I am Bill O'Brien. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. This is the Bruce Birch program, but Bruce is not here this evening. We'll pause for a moment or two, and we'll be back. Please stay tuned.
Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 3/4. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Many dogs and cats spend endless days indoors staring at the wall, living for the moment when you will come home and tell them you love them, take them out, and make a fuss over them. Dogs and cats need physical exercise and mental stimulation, things to do and think about in order to be healthy and happy. Please, set time aside for them and give them a real life and real love. For more information, please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals at 757-622-PETA or helpinganimals.com. That's helpinganimals.com.
Here is the truth the oil companies won't tell you. Half the foreign oil they import to California is from the Middle East. As a result, California is dangerously dependent on foreign oil. Prop 87 means more alternative fuels and wind and solar power. And that means less oil dependence. Prop 87 is the one thing Californians can do now to clean up the air, help stop the climate crisis, and free us from foreign oil. The sooner we do it, the safer we'll be.
This is Bill O'Brien back for with you for Bruce Birch. I'm kind of guessing here because I haven't heard the bumper music before and the messages. I mean, this is wonderful. I'm hearing all of these messages for the first time, and it's great. My name is Bill O'Brien, and you are listening to the Head On Radio Network, and this is the program where you usually tune into Bruce Birch, and Bruce is not here this evening, but I'm very, very honored to be in the chair. And I would love to hear from you. Our call-in line number, it is toll-free, 1-877-443-2366. That's 877-443-2366. We do have a caller on the line, and it is Bob, and it's Bob from North Dakota. Hi, Bob.
Dr. Bill.
Yes.
Yes, and you're not a real doctor, but you play one on the radio, right?
I play one on the radio. That's right. That's exactly right. Thank you. I don't dispense prescription medicines or even aspirin.
Absolutely not. But you do dispense something else. You know what that is?
What?
I was talking with our beloved Agnes there. And
Bob, do we have you? Bob, I think we may have lost you, my friend. I'm sorry. Please feel free to call back. We're here for a while. And the quality of the technology here is incredible. We lost Bob, and we'll get right back with him. I'm sure he'll call back. I really appreciate that. This thing about not being a real doctor. I've told this story on the other program, and I'll repeat it. But I'm broadcasting from Southern West Virginia, and I'm in a very, very small metropolitan area, which is in the southern part of the state, right on the West Virginia Turnpike. It's the city of Beckley. And when I came to Beckley 15 years ago, I'm in higher education, been in higher education all my life, and I came here and I found out that one of the most popular and, I've got to say, nicest people in this community has exactly the same name as mine. And people used to laugh. People at I work with Concord University here, and people used to say, "Oh, we can just see the two Bill O'Briens, et cetera, blah 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 blah." So the bottom line is, no sooner did I get here and establish a post office address and those kinds of things, than I began to get Bill's mail, and he started to get my mail, and we got to know each other because we were driving back and forth to each other's homes delivering mail, and we got to know each other. And my wife and Bill's wife became very, very good friends, and we went out to dinner several times. And Bill also is in radio, ironically. He in fact, owned a local station here, a very, very popular, prominent station here at that time. He also does the play-by-play broadcast of the local high school football team here. And high school football in this area tonight, Friday night, you can't it's unbelievable. They pull more people than college games, very honestly. It's very, very big. Well, anyway, Bill and I became friends, and we started to talk, and basically we thought, well, one of us can use our middle initial. Well, it just so happens we have exactly the same middle initial, which is A. Mine's Arthur, his is Andrew, so we couldn't go there. So the only difference between us, other than the fact that I'm handsome and he's not, I couldn't use that. So the only real difference between us was the fact that I happened to have a doctorate in history. And he doesn't, although his major was history, interestingly enough. I mean, this is unbelievable. So he started to call me doctor to distinguish me from him in town. And everybody picked it up, and it's been 15 years. And it still embarrasses me, and I don't know how to stop it. So my wife used to say, don't stop it. People are used to it. Just enjoy it. So I do. So again, I'm not a real doctor. Maybe I am. I don't know. But anyway, I don't do drugs, and I don't do medicine, and I don't even do aspirin if I can avoid it. Again, our number, 877-443-2366. I wanted to revisit for a moment, and again, we lost Bob, and I'm trying to keep my eye on, because if Bob does call back, I want to make sure we get him right on. We've been talking over the last two or three days about No Child Left Behind, and I'm not going to impose that necessarily, except to, as we move towards the bottom of the hour, to maybe lay out a scenario here, and then we can go into our bottom of the hour break. And if this is something that you can tie into, then by all means do that, and call in on our call-in line number, and we'll see what happens. It looks like there is some action on our call line, and we have Bob back. So let's talk to Bob first. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Hey, I guess we lost you. I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's I got a busy signal there, like buzz, 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 you know?
Oh, okay.
And it sounded like somebody hung up on me, and I thought, well, Agnes wouldn't do that, nor would Bill. So
no.
maybe it was that Fred, Agent Fred did it.
Maybe. On the other hand, it is Friday the 13th, so who knows?
Yes, indeed. Strange things happen on Friday the 13th, but... You know, I was delighted that you filled in for my good friend Bruce Birch. I've called him on many occasions, and I've opened myself up and told a couple of stories.
Yeah,
they're all true, because the one thing I love about Head On Network is that you people tell the truth. The truth is as you find it. The truth is you see it. And that's one wonderful thing about this network. You just keep telling the truth, you know, as it is presented to you. And I appreciate it, Dr. Bill. And I'm only saying that because you said, well, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on the radio.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. But I got to tell you that I agree with you. And one of the reasons that I'm excited about being associated in a very, very small way, admittedly, with this Head-On radio initiative is because I believe in it too. They do tell the truth. And the problem is that unfortunately, if Head-On's not on there telling the truth, then an awful lot of the truth doesn't get out there.
Yeah.
And that bothers me a lot.
It bothers me. Oh, my goodness, my friend. It bothers me to no end. One thing that reminds me of my childhood was that when I was a very young man, sitting in a pew in a church, and I heard a man speak, and he said, You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I think his name was Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
Yeah. The truth is not something you toy with. It's just the truth. I mean, every time you go into court, if you're, you know, raise your right hand, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
That's right.
And so many people go in there thinking they can lie their way through whatever. And their lies are found out. And eventually these pretenders to our Capitol and to our White House, because it's the people's house will be eventually, I believe it will, the truth shall out, and it will set us free. But we have to demand it first. You can't just say, okay, whatever they say is okay. And this thing about the No Child Left Behind, you know, if parents don't teach their children, okay, to question, mm-hmm. and I mean question the questions that they're being asked, okay? If you
yes.
don't ask, you know, if they're asking them to just do things by rote, they'll do them by rote. They'll just continually just be cattle following down the stanchions, doing whatever they're told to do. The problem with the No Child Left Behind thing is that all of our children, not just the middle class or the poor, but all children are being left behind, including the wealthy, because they're not taught to question the question. First, you have to ask the question, and then, okay, and exactly where is this question leading us to? What is this question about? Is it just to make me think your way? You know, you can. You're a doctor, ordained by what? By another doctor, or by just your knowledge? And that's one thing I love about you, Dr. Bill. And I'm saying,
well, thank you, Bob. And I got to tell you, you're playing right into my interest here. I'm shaking because of what you're saying. You know, I mean, I really believe that. And one of the things I thought you were going to say, and I love your comment about the fact that it's not only the middle class and the poor that's being left behind, but it's the wealthy, the children of the wealthy as well. And I like the fact that you mentioned that, because it's true. And one of the things that they are missing is the ability to interact with the rest of us. In other words, one of the things that's happening, and I think that's a real loss, is that the communication between youngsters at all levels, which is really what the whole concept of public education was about from the very beginning, is the idea that by interacting, you know, it's the same model that drives the integration idea, that it's only when you are young and you get used to interacting with other people who are different than yourselves, whether it be race, religion, income, or whatever, that not only do you learn to get along, but you also learn an element of respect and understanding for each other. And we're losing that. And No Child Left Behind sure as heck is not going to bring that back.
Absolutely. You know, that's the one beautiful thing that I hear in your voice and in your intellect, your ability to convey that to others, is the fact that, you know, it matters not the color of your skin. It matters not about your religion or your politic. It matters about how you view the world, how
right.
you think
right.
of one another, the person
right.
that's in front of you. And Dr. I think of you as a great man. And
well,
you know,
thank you, my friend. And the only thing I got to say is, we wouldn't be dealing with the world that we're dealing with if people had a little bit more respect for other people.
Or just,
I mean, that's the bottom line. People that respect other people.
Common sense.
Yeah, don't get into this mess.
Just enough common sense to look outside themselves. Think outside the box, I tell my son.
Yeah.
Think outside
yeah.
the box. Don't get trapped in this
right.
in this continual you know, this deluge of of infotainment that they keep pouring over the internet and over the television. Don't get trapped in that. Think outside of why they're dragging you this way.
Right.
And then think about who would be so diabolical and so evil as to drag you in that direction, to make you think their way instead of letting you think for yourself. And please,
for yourself, exactly.
Please think for yourself, because I'm not trying to tell you how to think. I'm just trying to teach you how to think.
Right, right. And that's the difference in education, in the classroom. There's a difference between encouraging youngsters to think and telling them what to think. And I think as a society, we've never been willing to make that big choice, that big leap. And when we do, that's when education will take off.
Yes, sir. You've got it. And, hey, I hope that what little I've had to say has sustained you in your beliefs and in your faith, not necessarily in some pie-in-the-sky thing, but in humanity itself. And, you know, I have a very, very strong faith in humanity, and I have no faith. I have no faith in whatever religion you want to throw at me, because religion is just that, and faith is what you find in others. And I have found a great well, a deep, abiding well of faith in this network and in you and in all those that support Head On, because I love the truth and I hate a lie.
Right. Well, and Bob, thank you so much. I'm reluctant to respond to that, because I thank you so very much for it.
Well, it's the first time I ever talked to you, my friend.
Well, that's, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate the things you said about Head On, and I know the people that are working so hard to make this work, and I just hope that they appreciate the things you're saying.
Oh, they do. I know them all. I love them all. I care about Guy and our little boy up there. I think of our little boy up there in Washington, and he speaks the truth, and so do you. So does Guy and Bruce and Bob. And hey, I hope you get a whole bunch of others on board, and make this thing fly.
Thank you, Bob. Hey, listen, we're going to take a break, but I sure appreciate it. It's been wonderful talking to you, and I hope we'll get a chance to do it again.
Well, I enjoyed talking to you, and I told Glenda, I said, I've never spoken with this man, but he is intelligent and he is articulate, and I love that in a man.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
Good night.
Bye, Bob. Bye now. Have a good one. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
I hear the music. We're going to pause for our bottom of the hour break. We're a little bit beyond the bottom of the hour, but no way in the world that I'm going to exchange a commercial message for the things that Bob was saying. So we'll pause for a commercial message or two. We'll be right back as we turn the bottom of the hour. This is Bill O'Brien sitting in for Bruce Birch. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
What's Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is Head On with Bob Kincaid.
The only hope that George Bush had after he raped the Treasury, after he ripped us off, the only hope he had for balancing out the amount of the bad paper that he had to go and hang in China was to take control of the means by which China would receive oil. Iraq is one of the faucets. The other faucet is Iran. If he can control those two things, he can continue to hang bad paper on China, and on the other end, act as the dealer outside the schoolyard to China's little junkie. Does this make sense?
It makes perfect sense, but I haven't heard it said in that concise a manner. Nobody has made the loop so small that everybody can realize.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern, only at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and RadioPower.org.
the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
We are at 40 minutes after the hour. This is Bill O'Brien sitting in this evening for Bruce Birch. So you are listening to the right place. This is the Head On Radio Network, and Bruce Birch is not able to be with us this evening. And I am Bill O'Brien, and I'm on earlier in the daytime here on the Head On Radio Network. This is my first experience. I would say out after dark, but it's not quite dark yet, so I won't say that. But anyway, I'm unchaperoned, and it's after five in the East, and it is a pleasure to be here. We've had a number of, one caller so far, and a couple more in the line. We're going to get to them right now. Let me give you the call line number. It is toll free, 1-877-443-2366. That's 877-443-2366. Let's go directly to our phones, because we've got a couple of folks there that have been waiting, and I believe the first one is Michael. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine, Dr. Bill. Right? And I don't want you to get embarrassed over that either, because you said you got embarrassed when people call you doctor, but I'll call you Dr. Bill.
Well, you know, I'm used to it here, but when people raise it and said, "Are you really a doctor?" and then I begin to realize, well, you know, I don't know.
Well,
but I'm not. So I'm not a medical doctor anyway.
When I was going to college, I wouldn't dare call one of my professors doctor.
Uh-huh.
If they had one.
I always used to, when I taught with people, you know, I always used to have the feeling, and this was just my own sense, that the people who really deserved it didn't need it, and the people who didn't deserve it wanted it.
Yeah, you're probably right on that.
But I don't know that's true up and down the line. But anyway, I thank you so much, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate hearing from you, Michael.
Well, I want to address the No Child Left Behind issue.
Uh-huh.
I'm a retired teacher. I taught for 30 years. My wife is still teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why she is backing out of teaching this year is No Child Left Behind.
Oh.
In California, No Child Left Behind has brought so many teachers to burnout that mm-hmm. they don't last in the profession for more than 5 years most of the time.
Yeah.
And that's teacher burnout. And Secondly, the requirements of No Child Left Behind, as I perceive it, is so burdensome that out of a 10-week, my wife is year-round, so she teaches 10 weeks and home too kind of thing. Out of that 10-week period of time, she spends the first 2 weeks in assessments, the last two weeks in assessment, and the 6 weeks in the middle teaching.
Teaching for the assessments.
Yeah. So what that means is out of a 10-week semester or period of time, the kids get 60% of the time teaching, 40%
right.
of the time being assessed.
Right.
Now, the teacher, in my wife's case, she has no aide to help her. So she has to do the assessments and has to keep the other kids in tow at the same time. And then they add this little thing. If you've got a kid that doesn't speak English, you have to spend 30 minutes a day individual instruction with him.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
there's no aid to do that either. So
right.
it leads to such a burnout on the part of the teacher that they
yes.
say, hey, I'm done. And that's what my yeah. wife is doing this year.
Yeah, well, you know, there's I mentioned on the earlier program, and I'll mention it here, Michael, but I for the last 3-4 years actually have been I was very fortunate to write one of these Teaching American History grant and was funded in 2002 for almost $1 million, which for me is unbelievable. The fact that I was able to bring $1 million into Southern West Virginia. I mean, that in itself is just incredible. The fact that the money, you know, circulated here and what we were doing was working with teachers of American history on using primary documents and teaching people to read critically and ask questions of the sources, the same kinds of things that Bob was calling about earlier in the program. And we had a number of teachers in our program, and they're telling me that they were telling us that that they're spending little time teaching history. They're spending little time teaching anything else except teaching to these assessments that you're talking about.
That is correct.
And you know, it's reading and math. It's reading, math, and science, and everything else is, you know, is, I mean, during history period, they're teaching reading, and they're all, it's all oriented towards meeting, you know, preparing for these tests.
And it's not reasoning either.
No, it's not. It's not. In fact, it's exactly the opposite.
Kids to think.
Yeah.
And the local churches went wild. They made us drop the program because they didn't want their children to be taught to think.
Mm-hmm.
They thought it would take them away from their Christian
yeah.
learning.
Yeah. People who already know what to believe don't think, do they, Michael?
No. I mean,
that's the two things don't belong together. I mean, that's really the basic issue of church of the issue of church state in the schools, a separation in the schools. That, you know, if your purpose in the classroom is to encourage people to think, then the best way to kill it is to tell them what the truth is.
Yeah.
Instead of letting them find out or search for it for themselves.
Yeah, and then again, so often, and this is where this and I'm sure you've talked about this Jesus camp business frightens the bejesus out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because you're not teaching them how to think.
Oh no, I mean you know, and I mean we do. I mean, and that one I've seen the videos of that. I mean, that is incredible. And the justification for that is that's what the extremist Muslims are teaching their youngsters, and so that makes it right, I guess, is because you know it's
yeah, well,
you know they're doing it, so we need to do it.
Muslims did that kind of thing, but Hitler and his brown church did that kind of thing too.
Right, that's right.
It's
frightening.
There.
No, it's absolutely frightening. Absolutely, it's demeaning. It basically suggests. To kids that they can't think. I mean, if you never ask them to, then obviously they become convinced that they can't, and they fall into this idea that you know that there's always a right answer, and I'm never the one that has it. It's the teacher has it, the book has it, the curriculum has it, the State Board of Education has it. Somebody has it, but I never do.
Would a psychologist say that kids who are exposed to these kinds of things, this is child abuse?
It might be. You know, I mean, in that sense, it would constitute that in my mind. But I think you probably have to have an attitude like you have, Michael, before you would buy into that.
Yeah, well,
some people would see it as discipline.
Well, what
but I find it, I find it unbelievable that in our schools we teach people what to think, and in our churches we teach people what God is and what God wants, and people believe, and nobody thinks, nobody raises questions. It's incredible.
I think what I hear you trying to say is that in our schools we teach kids how to think. In our churches we teach them what to think.
What to think. Well, in our schools we should teach them how to think, but unfortunately I'm...
That's what we endeavor to do.
Right. The nature of these assessments, the nature of these tests is quantification. The legislation, the No Child Left Behind legislation, mentions more than 100 times the idea of reliance on what they call scientifically based research. And what that means is quantification. You've got to quantify instruction because that's the only way you can measure whether, in fact, kids have it, and which ones don't. So the scientifically based research that they're talking about in terms of teaching kids to read, for example, is quantification of the process, and that means the phonics method, and that means sounding out syllables and sounding out words, but never, never getting to the point where children are encouraged to see a particular word in the context of other words, if that makes sense. In other words, the whole idea of meaning, of comprehension, and the whole idea of asking questions is never addressed. And that is frightening.
Do you remember a few years back we used to have the idea of readiness?
Oh, yeah, very well. I remember that, yes.
And to me, that was the greatest concept of making sense out of why kids come to abilities at different rates. Sometimes
right.
When they're ready for something,
right.
They can get it right away if they're not ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember when I was teaching fifth grade many, many years ago, I would have kids who on a Friday could not conceive of long division. On
yeah.
Monday, oh, they could do it.
Yeah.
Why not? You know, that makes sense. And they just go ahead, no problem. But just a space of 2 days, they went from completely unable to conceive of it to being able to master it.
Right.
But
the way we measure now, Michael, is that we classify them as unable to learn that. And we structure the education from here on in based on that fact, that this kid is limited and is never going to be able to understand that particular concept. So the whole education experience has to be something less than that level.
So sad, because what that...
It's so frightening.
What that does is that keeps the kid out of ever
right.
Growing.
Right, right.
I hate that.
Yeah. Michael, it's so great to hear from you, and I appreciate
I hope your
comments so well.
Something to the discussion, and thank you very much, Dr. Bill.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed hearing from you, and I hope that we'll talk again, Michael. Thank you, and my best to your wife.
Okay, bye-bye.
She's one of our heroes. She's one of our heroes.
Well, I keep telling you that.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We're at 50 minutes after the hour. Let's pause very briefly for a message or two here on the Head On Radio Network. And when we come back, we'll have Dave on the line. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool block skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. Flod, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to wateruseitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. This is Bill O'Brien substituting this evening for Bruce Birch. Our time is 55 minutes after the hour, and we do thank you for tuning in to the Head On Radio Network. Appreciate your time and you're willing to spend a little bit of your valuable time with us. Our number on the call line, it's toll free, 1-877-443-2366. That's 877-443-2366. And we're going to go to our phones, and we've got Dave on the line. Dave's been with us for a while. Dave, thank you very, very much for waiting. How are you?
Oh, pretty fair, Dr. Bill. When last I tried to call you on your own show, what could go wrong did. And so I don't think we ever did get connected.
No, we never connected.
But I did.
It was my fault that we didn't connect, Dave, because when you called back, and I missed the fact that you were there.
However, you got signal, didn't go through, I understood. But,
No, that's exactly right. And I was kind of caught up in my own thing there. And when I looked up and saw that you had been there and hung up, and I thought, oh my God, I hate.
Well, in addition to that, my line shut down and everything. And right now, somebody else is needing to use this very phone. But I wanted to offer you at least a brief comment on this reality that several hundred thousand Iraqi people have been killed, and we hear words on our news like insurgents and terrorists, but these are people that have to be a little bit rubbed out of shape that hundreds of thousands of their people are being killed by people that have invaded their country for no legitimate reason. It's very profitable. I say that the Bush administration and this Halliburton and Bechtel's and the other big corporations are making a fortune. The Treasury of the United States is shifting into their pockets. That's the only thing that comes close to a reason for us to be there and why we're not going to leave. We're staying there. And I can imagine the people of Iraq are damn unhappy with us doing this. And,
right. Dave, one of the things that you can think of with this way, and I was thinking about it, just the numbers are astounding.
Even if it was the comma, the pittance that George Bush admits to the 50,000, that would be enough to rub a few people the wrong way.
Yes. But the interesting thing is, if the number of deaths is anywhere near what these surveys are saying, then the whole idea, as you say, of insurgents and terrorists becomes absurd. The whole thing becomes absurd. Because if there are that many insurgents and terrorists, then obviously, you know, something's really wrong. So obviously, we're talking about innocence, and we're talking about people that are probably trying to find a way to get rid of people that invaded their territory, invaded their land.
But that many people having been killed, that just about every Iraqi knows people close to them that have been killed.
Yes.
And that is going to turn a lot of people against us, this country. I can understand polls over there say the people now definitely support attacking U.S. military.
Right, right.
I do appreciate you and your program, and I share all of the previous callers, Bob's thinking.
Dave, thank you so much.
If you hear too much good stuff.
I thank you very, very much, Dave. And I apologize for the other day because it was my fault.
Oh, well, that is no biggie. Thank you.
But okay, thanks, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one. Have a great weekend, okay?
I'm going to try, and you too, sir.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. We're at 59 minutes after the hour. We're going to go to the top of the hour news. We have Ray on the line. We'll pick Ray up at the other end. I don't want to cut him short. This is Bill O'Brien substituting for Bruce Birch. We are at the top of the hour. We'll listen to the news, and then we'll be right back with one more hour. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
This is the Quality News Network. In Washington today, Representative Bob Ney pleaded guilty to bribery in connection with the Jack Abramoff lobbying scandal. The Ohio Republican could be sentenced up to 10 years in prison. Bipartisan congressional leaders and the White House are calling on Ney to resign immediately, something he has not done yet. His lawyer told the judge that the congressman will resign in the next few weeks. Also on Capitol Hill today, the representative who oversees the House pages testified behind closed doors to the House Ethics Panel investigating the Mark Foley page scandal. He said he tried to stop former Representative Foley from sending emails to a former page. NBC News is reporting that in Arizona, federal prosecutors have begun a preliminary investigation into Congressman Jim Colby's camping trip that included two teenage congressional pages 10 years ago. Colby, the only openly gay Republican in the House of Representatives, is not running for re-election. In Washington, a U.S. intelligence official reports that initial results from air sampling after North Korea's announced nuclear test reveal no evidence of radioactive particles, as would be expected. A Chinese government official also said their initial testing found no evidence of any airborne radiation. At the United Nations today, the Security Council agreed to the wording of the resolution against North Korea for its reported test. It would authorize non-military sanctions. It also imposes an arms embargo on heavy conventional weapons rather than a blanket arms embargo. U.S. officials expect to approve that draft Saturday. In Washington today, President Bush signed the port security bill to protect the 11 million shipping containers that enter the U.S. each year. A former White House official who was part of the president's faith-based initiatives program has written a book. He accuses the president's top advisors of embracing evangelical supporters in public while ridiculing them in private. In London today, the chief of the British Army is trying to explain his recent controversial comments about the Iraq War, which he says were misinterpreted. In the Daily Mail newspaper, he said that Britain should pull out of Iraq soon because the continued military presence makes the country less secure and exacerbates security problems around the world. A Bangladeshi economist has won the Nobel Peace Prize for the bank he founded, which gives small loans to help lift millions out of poverty. And parts of the Midwest and Northeast are experiencing an early winter with record snowfall in Chicago, Detroit, and Buffalo. Power is also out to hundreds of thousands of customers. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
In the Salinas Valley, inspectors confirmed yesterday that the same strain of E. coli bacteria in the spinach that sickened nearly 200 people nationwide and killed three was found in a nearby cattle ranch. However, it is still uncertain how the cow manure contaminated the spinach fields located a mile away. A Pennsylvania jury said today that Walmart must pay at least $78 million for violating the state's labor laws. The class action lawsuit involved 187,000 current and former employees who said they were forced to work through rest breaks and off the clock. Hewlett-Packard has appointed a new officer to oversee the company's ethics policies in the wake of the company's media leak scandal. The FCC delayed today's scheduled vote to approve the merger between AT&T and Bell South. Critics say it would result in a communications monopoly. The liberal talk radio news network Air America filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection today, and Microsoft says it's on track to deliver the new Windows operating system Vista to the general public in January. Light sweet crude settled at $58.57 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange today, and at the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow Jones set another record, the sixth record close in 2 weeks. The Dow was up 12 points at 11,960, the NASDAQ was up 11 points, and the S&P 500 was up 2 points. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce.
You are listening to the Head On Radio Network, but this is not Bruce Birch. This is Bill O'Brien sitting in this evening for Bruce. I love that lead-in, Bruce. I got to remember to tell him that. That is wonderful. I am Bill O'Brien, and we're into our second hour this evening. I'm substituting for Bruce Birch, and I sure enjoy being here. It's a little bit different. The time is different. The sun's going down here in the east. We're at 5 minutes after six here in the east in the evening, and we have a wonderful, crisp fall Friday night, and everybody's scurrying around going to high school football games, and it's just wonderful, beautiful, beautiful day. And we've had three or four callers already in our first hour here, and loving it. It's just wonderful fun, and it's so informative. It's just great to hear good people expressing themselves, and I mean that. I just don't think there's enough of that today, and that's kind of where I'm coming from, what I'm about. Our call-in line number, it is toll-free. It's 1-877-443-2366. That's 877-443-2366. We're going to go directly to our phones. We have Ray on the line. Ray's been kind enough to wait through the news. So, Ray, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, Bill, and yourself?
Very well, thank you. Very well.
That's good. I just wanted to call in and tell you, I drove down to Mississippi yesterday. To the Gulf Coast. My wife and I went there Sunday, and I didn't bring my camera with me, but I brought it yesterday. And I've got about 200 pictures of the area. It is really depressing. The place it was demolished by this hurricane.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they're going to rebuild or if there's any need to rebuild, because it's going to happen again.
Well, you know, that's one factor, and it's clear that there's not been a whole lot done when you think of the fact that it's been, you know, 13 months,
and
my brother was down there. You may know a few weeks ago, and He went down there and volunteered for a week, and he just came back. I mean, as he said, it was one of the most moving experiences I've ever had in my life. But he said, I just feel so bad because I can't see where it's ever going to be rebuilt.
It looks bad. I mean, there's some big companies that had, corporate businesses like Waffle House and Olive Garden and places like that that haven't even started rebuilding.
Right, right. And I guess with the size of the population loss there, I guess businesses will really have to reevaluate whether, in fact, there's been, you know, whether there's enough people there to warrant the business anymore.
That's true.
You know, and I guess the big thing, and this is what they keep talking about, is tourists. I guess a lot of these companies, because very honestly, many of the people who were forced to leave the area didn't go to Olive Garden too often. You know, I mean, that would be kind of above their means.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that it's a lot of it is tourism.
But a lot of those people work there. Well, not a lot, but I mean, you know, some of the people that worked there, you know, had to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
And they wouldn't be rehired if they went back.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Did you go specifically, Ray, to take the pictures that you took, or was it just something that struck you so much that you decided to go back?
Yesterday, my wife said we had to get out of the house. She's a school teacher, and she's, you know, under a lot of pressure.
Right.
You know, we talk about No Child Left Behind and everything, and I mean, she's just snowed. She's got more work and more work and more work, less time to teach.
Yeah.
I don't see her during the school year.
Yeah, I know what you mean. The people that it doesn't affect are not the good. The good, dedicated teachers are the ones that throw themselves into this.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's just more than a lot of good people can handle. I think
been doing it for 25
Bob
years.
Was talking
in the public school.
Yeah, Michael was talking earlier about teachers burning out, and you can understand why.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very bad. Well, I think that's nice that you spend a day together, even though I'm sure you learned a lot, but it's probably not the most positive thing to do to get out and take pictures of devastation. But
no, it's not. I'm going to put this on a CD and send it in to Powers and Morrison.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Try and, you know, write something about it.
Well, you know, I there is this theory that, you know, I've heard it thrown around that ultimately one administration strategy here is to not rebuild it, is to change the whole nature of the place and not do anything to attract the people who left back. I mean, there's no reason for them to go back. There's nothing there.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that, too, about New Orleans, too.
Yeah.
And
just accept the fact that we're looking at a city that's, 25 or 30% fewer folks than they used to be. And of course, then you wonder, where are these people? And you know, I mean, they just disappear. I mean, there's no, you know, it seems in this day and age, it just seems so sad. I mean, we talk about reconstructing whole countries and whole, you know, and this happens to our own people, and we can't do it. And the irony is that you get to the point where some people are actually blaming the people themselves and saying, well, this is not a good investment to rebuild for these people because these people won't do for themselves and these kinds of things.
Right. Then we have the people that said, well, God was angry with us, and so he took out New Orleans, you know, the Gulf Coast and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Ray, it's wonderful to hear from you, and I thank you. And you probably have got some pictures that other people would be interested in seeing.
Right. That's why I'm putting it out on Powers and Morrison.
Well, I'm gonna look for it. I've become I tune in every couple of days to that website. Thanks to this program, I didn't even know about it before I came on here.
Right.
And but I look at it now. There's some really good stuff on there.
Right. Okay. Well
thank you, Ray.
Good talk.
Appreciate it. Wonderful to hear from you. Thank you.
Bill.
You have a great weekend.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye. We're at 12 minutes after the hour, and again, our call-in line number, toll-free, 877-443-2366. One of the things that we didn't talk about, we've been talking a lot about No Child Left Behind, and I really appreciate that, because all I did was mention the term, and all these wonderful folks have called, and and giving us different perspectives, and the fact that Michael is talking about his wife and that Ray's talking about his wife, and these people are married to saints, and it sounds like they both appreciate that, and that's important because they are. Good teachers today are absolutely gold. The people that can work their way through this and still maintain their enthusiasm and their love of kids and their love of teaching and respect for learning and all of these things that I know these things sound like esoteric pie in the sky stuff, but they really aren't. One of the things that I wanted to at least get out there, get on the table here, is that we obviously refer to Head On Radio as being liberal radio, and I don't want to lose that, because the bottom line is that there's a distinct, clear political issue or political side to this whole No Child Left Behind. We've been talking so far, and I know the people don't believe this any more than I do, but our conversation so far would lead one to believe that what we're dealing with is a piece of legislation that has had negative effects. And the implication is that the negative effects are perhaps accidental or unexpected. The reality is that there's a very, very significant political agenda here. And No Child Left Behind is the legislative manifestation of that agenda. And I think we need to realize it. When we talk about the fact that kids aren't asking questions and we're quantifying instruction and we're quantifying the teaching of reading and all of these other things, the bottom line is that has consequences. It has real consequences. And they aren't only educational, unfortunately. They're also political. Or put it another way, they have political consequences, and unfortunately, it's not only political, they have academic consequences as well, and they really, really do. So I think we need to keep that in mind and remember that. And we are at 14 minutes after the hour, and I guess it's a good time to take our break. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bill O'Brien, and I'm here substituting for Bruce Birch. We'll pause for a message or two here on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back. Please stay with us.
Fire! Radioactive! Michael Franti! Legacy and LZ in the place! Gone International with Sly and Robbie on the track! Drums and bass! We need to unify, rally round the flag and beat the drums of war. Sing the same old songs, we heard them all before. You're telling me it's unpatriotic, but I call it when I see it.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you. Or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Great universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
Minutes past the hour in the east after the hour of 6 p.m. This is Bill O'Brien substituting for Bruce Birch, and you are listening to the Head On Radio Network. If you are just joining our program this evening, we sure do welcome you. If you've been with us since the top of the hour, in fact, in top of the first hour, we thank you for staying with us. We really appreciate it. I try to say as often as I can because I really mean it. The internet radio, unlike what Bob Kincaid refers to as terrestrial radio, is not something that you blunder into. You don't surf the dial and suddenly find this particular outlet, Head On Radio. You have to dial into it. You have to want to listen to it. And so that means that everybody who's here wants to be here or chose to be here. And I want you to know that I personally, and I know the other folks on this network agree with me, I take that responsibility very, very seriously. I think it's an honor, and I think that everybody associated with Head On Radio Network is honored that you would take the time to tune in. And that drives us, and I mean that. It drives us in terms of preparation. It forces us to read more. It forces us to think more. It forces us to interact and communicate more with the world around us. And we think that we're all better because of you and your willingness to join us. And I just want you to know that. We take it very, very seriously. The fact that you are willing to take a portion of your busy, busy day or evening and give it to us. And, boy, we feel that that's a responsibility that we can't take lightly. And I personally do. And I just want you to know that. Our number, again, our call line number, which is toll-free, is 877-443-2366. That's 877-443-2366. We're going to go to our phones. We're at 21 minutes after the hour, and we have Jim on the line. Hi, Jim.
Good evening. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Okay, reasonably well. Cool chili out there. I like it very much.
I love it. I really do like it, Jim. I really do. I think it's healthy.
I just received the October 16th edition of Time magazine, and on the cover,
yes,
the elephant's rear end.
Oh, really?
And,
oh,
yeah,
my.
And there is an article by Karen Tulsi, and it's called The End of a Revolution. Sex, lies, and power games are just the latest symptoms of a Republican Party that has strayed from its ideals. And it is a very interesting article that may have significant impact on the election next month.
Do you you don't think that we're going to fall into a sense of overconfidence, do you, Jim?
I would hope not, and I have guarded against that.
Now, I know. I think we all have. We have to.
And I think that you have to realize that, you know, if the election is conducted honestly, then, of course, I think we're going to see some significant change, and people are tired of what they've been having for the past 6 years, and I think that there's a good chance that there's going to be significant changes in D.C. I think they're beginning to realize that not even their money can do.
Yeah.
And I think I discussed with you this program by Bill Moyer. It's
yes.
Todd Green. Remember that? We talked
yes.
about that?
Yes.
And whereas 63% of the Christian evangelicals are beginning to disagree with the totally ridiculous position that the current administration has on global warming and the irresponsibility of stewardship of the earth. And I think that when even Pat Robertson has come out against that now, will you believe it?
No. No, that's unbelievable.
Well, he has. Even he has had to backtrack.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have a huge lobby there in Washington, and the man who, of course, is in charge of it, went to a seminar in Oxford, England, and that's where he sort of had the scale fall from his eyes about the irresponsibility of the Republicans and their things toward position for global warming. And
right.
this in conjunction with the hypocrisy of their own positions
yes.
and their, you know, scandals and misappropriation of money and things of that nature, and calling themselves conservatives when they're anything but conservative. And, you know, I think it doesn't look very good for them.
No, it doesn't. Jim, there's a piece in I think it's in today's Washington Post, and I can't give you the author at the moment, but I was reading it today, and it was talking about exactly this. And it was pointing out that even the Republican Party on the national level, the National Committee, is looking seriously at Republican candidates who they believe don't have much of a chance, and they're not going to throw their money at it. They're going to try to channel their money into races where they feel that the Republican incumbent really has a chance. So even the National Republican Party is beginning to write off a few of its own that they feel are doomed. But the point that I'm making about this piece, they point out that gerrymandering over the last several years, and of course we saw this in Texas with DeLay, gerrymandering has made a change very, very difficult. In other words, what they're saying is that the Democratic victory would have to be so overwhelming in order to pull this off that there's a question as to whether, in fact, it could be a major, major turn of public opinion toward the Democrats, but still it wouldn't be enough to dislodge enough representatives to make the change that you're talking about.
Well, I think there's a good possibility that it will, because, I mean, how many other states have they gerrymandered besides Texas?
Oh, yeah, I know, but some of these people are in very, very safe seats. I mean, it would be an overwhelming change to dislodge some of these people, because what they've done is redistrict in such a way that they pack all the Democratic support into the same district, which means that some of the vote that would be anti-Republican before the change now end up in Democratic districts where it doesn't do any good. All that means is that the Democrat wins by more.
How many seats we're talking about here? Do you know?
Well, I'm trying to think of the names of the people. One of them was in Indiana, I remember. Another one was in Ohio, and it's a woman. I saw her picture the other day. It's in one of the districts in Ohio, and that the National Republican Party has pretty well written her off. But the fact is that gerrymandering the districts has made it, you know, has made the incumbent so difficult to dislodge that the size of the victory is going to have to be so huge that there's some concern. My concern is that if it doesn't happen, if these guys, you know, if this party, the Republican Party, maintains control of Congress, in the face of these scandals, then they are going to be the most, they're going to be more arrogant than they are now, if that's possible.
Well, I don't think so. And I think that probably, that basically, we're going to have a situation in which, how can I say this? They will become a play with no audience.
Okay.
And this is a cautionary tale. How long do you think that our leadership can afford to ignore the advice of the Praetorian Guards?
Okay.
I know of several Caesars who did.
Yes. Do you anticipate? I'm almost reluctant to ask this, but it's just an opinion. There's so much being written and discussed about the change that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming very clear that higher ups in the Republican administration, in the Republican Party, and in the administration, are pretty much anticipating this, although they're reluctant to say it. I'm wondering what an administration that has been willing to do the things that this one's done might do in the face of a defeat that they saw as inevitable.
I don't know.
You know, I mean, and I don't like to think about that, but it really does bother me because, these people will do anything for power.
What do you mean by defeat? A political defeat?
Political defeat, yeah.
Or what?
You know, a political defeat. I mean, it's becoming clear that key people within the Republican Party are anticipating now. What they're hoping for is it won't be as devastating as you suggest it might be.
Well, also, I hope that it can be devastating enough so they're brought to justice and they're held to accountable for their crimes.
Yeah.
Because they're guilty against, as far as I'm concerned, they are definitely guilty of high crimes in office. They're guilty of lying. They're obstruction of justice. They're guilty of so many other things, not to mention crimes against humanity, crimes against peace, crimes against the peaceful efforts of nations to coexist in the world to satisfy their own selfish ends.
Jim, are you comfortable that the Democratic Party that would be in control after such a change will be willing to hold these folks accountable in the ways that you're talking about?
I would hope so. We did it in Nuremberg. And as far as I'm concerned, I placed the key positions of these people in the dock, just the way they did the people at Nuremberg.
Right. Right.
We've got 630,000 dead in Iraq, according to Lancet.
Yeah.
Because of a war that was unnecessary. And we've got major deficits and we've got major problems in this country, which are the resulting of absolute rote stupidity and just malice.
Mm.
And this cannot be allowed to go unpunished.
And so what you're saying is that this election is about much more than a changing from one political party to another. You're assuming that there has to be some justice on the back end of this.
Absolutely. In order to teach people a lesson, in order to make them realize that, you know, we cannot afford to ignore these things because we cannot afford to have them being repeated. It's just like what Justice Robert Jackson said in his opening comments at the Nuremberg War Trial in October of 1946. We cannot ignore these things because we cannot afford to have them being repeated.
No, we sure can't. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, the whole issue of torture and many of the things that we've done, the Constitution.
You look at one area of morality that hasn't been violated, raped. This
right.
country has been raped. Iraq has been raped. Our national image in the face of the world has been so transmogrified that people turn their backs on us.
Jim, I can't disagree with you. I really can't. I understand
what
you're saying.
And I, You know, I don't want to sound like Madame Lafarge in A Tale of Two Cities, knitting shrouds at the base of the guillotine. However, I can see how people can be driven to that point.
I just don't, I guess I just don't have the sense that the Democratic Party that would take over in the face of such a change is capable or has the will.
Well, I think, you know,
age and the kinds of things you're talking about.
I think if they realize the same thing could happen to them, they might not want to put themselves in that position.
Right.
You know, you don't reward bad behavior, Dr. O'Brien.
Yeah, I know. I know. And my concern is that we saw the two-party system that we know in this country took a hit with this administration, because this administration behaved way out of character for the way our two-party system has traditionally worked. What you're suggesting is that a change now back again would further increase this change in the two-party system. And I think if it's true, then we're looking at a different political system than we came into this with in 2000.
Whatever it takes, sir. Whatever it takes. I mean, totally pragmatic. You have
all
a good
right.
evening, sir.
Jim, thank you. You have a good one and
thank
a great
you.
Weekend. Thank you, my friend. We're at 33 minutes after the hour. We're going to pause for our bottom of the hour break. This is Bill O'Brien substituting this evening for Bruce Birch. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
We look to the day when you can live in freedom, and America and Iran can be good friends and close partners in the cause of peace.
See, this is where we get a really bad reputation. I live in a country where I'm not even sure if my vote's going to count in November. How free are you? How free are the people on the Gulf Coast? How free are the families that still grieve for the bodies dragged out of Aracoma and Sago? How free are they? He throws around precious terms with precious little regard for them. How free are we that chose by a wide margin in the year 2000, November 2000, we chose a man named Al Gore to be the President of the United States. How free are we that we were saddled with this ignorant, ignorant, hateful little man? How free are we? How free?
I'm Bob Kincaid. Join me weeknights, 7 to 10 Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
Nah. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
We are at 38 minutes after the hour in the East, 38 minutes after the hour of 6 in the evening. This is Bill O'Brien sitting in for Bruce Birch this evening. You are listening to the Head On Radio Network, and we welcome you to this evening's program. If you're just joining us, and if you've been with us through the program, we thank you for staying with us. That's very, very nice of you. Our call-in line number, it is toll-free, 1-877-443-2366. That's 877-443-2366. Let's go back to our phones, and we have Wayne. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, Dr. Bill. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, real good. Listen, I think the point you started to make, and Jim certainly laid out all the reasons for that point, was that these people know what they're guilty of, and
yeah.
That's what makes them so scary.
That's my point. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
I really am, you know, and I don't know. I don't have anything on to base that on, Wayne, other than it really bothers me because I've seen what they do. I've seen what they've gone through to get power, and they're not just going to walk away.
No, they're not. I don't believe they are either. You know, but I believe it. You know, I have to believe that it will happen. And then if the Democrats do, in fact, get in control, we have to do what we've been talking about, and is hold them responsible. They
yes.
no longer have any excuses. They have to be questioned on why they're doing, you know, and that's
right.
up to us.
Right.
That's up to the people. So,
Well, these guys will act if the people are pushing them and the people are watching them. They'll do the right thing, but boy, if the people are not watching them, they won't. Because they, you know, very honestly, we're replacing politicians with politicians here.
Oh yes, we are. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. But there's a core of people that you could work with. I mean, you know, there are some very good people that want to do the right thing.
That's right.
And that's on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
I think that's on both sides of the aisle. And you know, it's just a matter of cleaning all this up and being responsible again.
Yeah, you know, this thing about the other side of the aisle, that's what bothers me about this, is that it's almost becoming impossible to look on the other side of the aisle anymore. You know, I keep thinking about the one that bothers me, I grew up in New England, and I know quite a bit, not a whole lot, but I know a little bit about Lincoln Chafee in
right.
Rhode Island. And he's a good man. I mean, he's a good man. And he probably agrees with me on more issues than the Democrat that's running against him, if that makes sense. But the fact of the matter is he's got that R after his name, and that means that if he wins, that means that the Republicans are more than likely going to maintain control of the Senate. So therefore, I've got a root against a good man because he happens to have an R after his name. And I know that there's always the option to say, why doesn't he change his party? But, you know, that's not going to happen, obviously.
No, obviously not. But that's, you know, unfortunately at this time, part of the game.
You know, you bet.
And,
you bet.
You know, you got to play the game. I don't know. I think that with all these things coming out, and you know, I mean, I talked about the Christian people, and I mean, they have to start looking at these things in, you know, the torture bill, the whole nine yards. I mean, it's what you believe in. Is
right.
this your faith?
Right.
You know, and it isn't.
And I'll tell you something else, Wayne. And this, you know, and I'm going to say this. This is probably not as gentlemanly as perhaps I ought to phrase it. But this administration has allowed a hate industry to flourish out there in terms of talk radio. And I mean, there's an element of hate out there that is very, very bad. And this administration didn't create it, but it sure less condones it and makes them feel as if they were almost legitimate,
and it damn sure promotes it.
Oh my God!
It
I mean,
damn
you know this
sure promotes it. I mean, that's
and
what,
I don't care. I mean, everybody, I don't want to make, I'm not going to make stretches and say that some of the bad things that happen happen because of these things. But the bottom line is that, that conversation and ideology has consequences. You know, and the fact that people are doing horrible things to other people has to be connected with the fact that there's a whole group of people here who are justifying that and are pushing this eye for an eye thing and saying if they do it to us, we have the right to do it to them. And I think it's very, very bad. Very bad.
It is very bad.
You know, so.
It is very. And that's why it has to change. That's
Wayne, can I ask you, while I got you on the phone, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Totally different subject.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with this National Labor Relations decision last
yes,
week?
Sir.
And the, what's your sense of that? Because I know that you know. I know that you know.
It's a union busting decision. That's what it is. Up to 8 million people can be affected. Since almost, and this is my understanding. I may be wrong, but I believe I'm right. The definition of supervisor or superintendent or whatever you want to call it has been in question since the act was passed in 35, I think.
Right.
And the Clinton administration defined it. And it defined it as a superintendent is someone that has the right to hire, fire, and discipline.
Right.
That was the, you know, definition. And they just changed it to anybody that directs somebody. Well, you know, they started with the nurses because nurses are, in my opinion, Dr. Bill, are really under attack. I mean, and registered nurses, you know.
Yeah.
This is what they've done. But the effect of that, you know, I work in the construction industry. Well, for years I directed men.
Sure.
I mean, I turn around and tell us, okay, you know, I need 122 by fours. I need this. I need that. Well, now I'm a superintendent or a supervisor, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Then now the federal labor laws no longer apply to me.
Right. Basically, what that says is as a supervisor, you no longer enjoy the protections
right.
that you would have if you were an employee rather than a supervisor.
Exactly. And, you know, people don't, I mean, these are small steps that. It doesn't look like much in the beginning. Well, they're not. Our contract protects us. I said, yeah, okay, maybe your contract protects you now, but what do you think is going to be on the negotiating table the next time you go to negotiate your contract?
That's right.
They're going to say, well, these people, you know, I mean, they're superintendents.
Yeah.
So it's a very bad thing. And that has to be corrected, you know.
I think you're right. I think it's very, very bad.
It is very bad.
See, that's the kind of thing. I mean, this was a 3-2 decision by the National Labor Relations Board.
And we're
that's the kind of thing that this election's about.
Does that board mean 3 Republicans and 2 Democrats?
I don't know. But it's 3-2, and my guess is that the 3 are probably vulnerable depending on what happens with this election.
Oh, I would say they better.
That's my sense.
Yeah.
But the point is these decisions. Go ahead.
Doesn't the president appoint the board?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. And these are the things that really indicate what the election's really about. Are these regulatory agencies? And, you know, basically what this administration has done is put people in front and at the head of these regulatory agencies that don't believe that these agencies ought to regulate anybody.
They don't even believe they should exist.
No, I know it. But
right.
but if you can't abolish them, then what you do is you put them under control of people that don't think they should be there.
Well, that's exactly right. And there are so many ways of doing that without changing laws.
That's what they do
to OSHA. You know, we didn't change any OSHA regulations.
Sure.
But we didn't fund it either.
Right.
You know,
right.
So there, go do your job. This is, you know, I'm a president of a local union. I tell my members all the time, listen, if these guys were Democrats that were in control of this country right now and they were treating working people the way they are and, you know, and they're attacked on unions, I'd be fighting them just as strong.
That's
the most anti not just anti-union, anti-worker administration I've seen in my lifetime.
That's right.
And, you know,
that's right.
I'm no young kid neither.
I agree.
So,
I agree.
You agree? Okay.
You're a lot younger than you think you are.
Well.
But getting older rapidly, right?
Yeah, I am. You know.
Yeah, we all are.
And
thank you. Thank you, my friend.
Okay, buddy. I'll be talking.
Great to hear from you. Bye now.
All right,
we're
buddy.
At 48 minutes after the hour, and we're going to pause for our last break this evening. When we come back, we have Peter on the line, and we'll get right to Peter. So please stay tuned. Be right back.
Of democracy pinned up against the coast. Our house of bureaucracy surrounded by a moat. Citizens of poverty, I'm barely out of sight.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here are some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
We are at 52 minutes. I jumped the gun there a little bit. We are at 52 minutes after the hour, and that was our last break of this evening's program as we move towards the top of the second hour. This is Bill O'Brien. and I've been privileged to sit in for Bruce Birch this evening. You are listening to the Head On Radio Network, and please write down our call-in line number, because this wonderful program here on the Head On Network, we begin all the way from noon in the east, all the way through 10 o'clock in the evening. We have very, very interactive conversation radio, I like to call it. We have people that really care about other people, and I think if you can get a group of those people together in today's world, you've really got something, and the Head On Radio Network has done that, and I just think it's wonderful. The number, and you might want to write it down, and I keep it handy because we invite you to use it whenever the feeling strikes you. It is a toll-free number, 877-443-2366. That's 877-443-2366. And when you dial that number, believe me, the person that you get on the other end will be very, very glad to hear from you. We have a caller on the line. We have Peter, and Peter's been on there for some time. Hi, Peter. It's a pleasure.
Dr. Bill, it's so good to hear your show. You know, you're earlier in the day, and I often miss it because of my scheduling. And we miss Bruce, but we're also glad to have you here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I feel very, very welcome this evening, and I've enjoyed it very much.
We call Bruce that Bruce kid, so we'll just have to start calling you that Doctor kid.
God, if you can call me kid, I'll be back every day. I'll tell you. I'll become a regular caller on Bruce's program.
If you don't already know, I have to tell you, if you continue to do these evening and night programs, we will corrupt you. There's no doubt about it. We will.
Oh, I'll tell you. After dark, bad things happen, huh, Peter?
We pull out all the stops.
I've got to tell you, and I've said it before this evening, and I said it on other days as well, and I mean this very sincerely. This is a very, very exciting thing to see happening, and to watch it happen from the very beginning, and to see what a wonderful job these folks have done. It just humbles me to even be a small part of it. And I've met Bruce, and I just love Bruce. And these are just great people. They're just good, good people.
Bruce is. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I know there's not a lot of time, and I wanted to hit on a couple of points and so
right ahead.
To get right into it.
Go ahead.
We talked earlier about No Child Left Behind, and
yes.
You've made several comments about it. I just wanted to point out how hand in glove this fits in with the entire Republican plan to teach people to a test so as to short-circuit or completely bypass the thinking process, the how to think, the how to arrive at the answer, just teaching the answers. And these answers are not even necessarily historically correct the way the Republican change history at the drop of a pen. So, it's a shame, really, that... And it just fits hand in glove with the whole controlling church aspect of not teaching people that they should rightly divide the word of God, and that we should listen to these conservative so-called ministers and simply accept what they have to say. The yes, yes, yes mentality, and the takeover of the media at all. You know, this No Child Left Behind is absolutely no accident. And of course, who is it? Jeb. Jeb's Bush cousin or one of Bush's brothers is making a fortune selling the No Child Left Behind machines in Texas, something like that.
Yeah, he's the big guy, and they sold this company that was affiliated with No Child Left Behind. His name is Randy Best, I believe.
I see.
And basically, he bought the company. For $5 million, the Reading First piece of it, which is tied up with No Child Left Behind, he's a Bush pioneer, and he just recently sold that company for $380 million.
Yes, and these machines.
And then he put former Secretary of Education Page, who used to be superintendent of schools in Houston, and lied about the test results. By the way, at least the Houston school system did.
Not surprised.
But Page, Roderick Page, was the first Secretary of Education, and he left that to work in this, and
of course,
he's now CEO of this company.
Yes, and of course these machines within 2 years are going to be as outdated as a 12-year-old Nintendo in terms of running anything, any current products. You know, it's a total money hole. And the only other thing I wanted to get at this evening was the upcoming elections. We all know that the Republicans are like trapped animals. They're drowning rats. It's falling apart. everywhere. The stakes are enormous. The stakes are whether or not impeachment happens. The stakes are prison time and disgracement for a huge number of people in very high places. And I just wanted to, my opinion is, and I can practically guarantee it, that this election cycle, the voting machine irregularities are going to be at full tilt, more blatant than we've ever seen before. The voter suppression will be more blatant than we've ever seen before. If there's a formula that calculates, you know, so many votes get shifted in a different direction, which we've demonstrated that that is in fact happening, and it's no secret. Those formulas are going to be set for absolute maximum tilt, and I think that we ought to begin giving some thought now as to what we're going to do.
I think you're right.
You know, we can. Of course, we all like to talk about it here on the radio, but I think we need to take. You know, if the Christians need to take a lesson from the Amish, and we need to take a lesson from the Mexicans. Something's got. You know, without coming out and just soliciting. Outright civil disobedience and anarchy. I'm just saying we've got to start talking about that. What the hell are we going to do? Because this will happen, I guarantee you.
At least we need to make enough noise so that it makes it a little bit more difficult, if nothing else.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, and I think all of us need to take a lesson from the Amish and the Christians as well. And I agree with you.
Yes, sir.
But I know I'm worried as well. I worry about these machines because the in order for change to happen, it's going to have to be such an overwhelming change that even the machines can't hold it back.
Yeah, it's going to have to be something enormous, and God help us get through this. It's so important.
Well, Peter, we're at the top of the hour, but I first of all, I want to tell you that it's a pleasure talking to you, and I thank you so very much.
You too. I hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you. I hope so, too.
Okay,
thank you, Peter.
Time. Yes.
Bye-bye. We are at the top of the hour. I see those double zeros. This is Bill O'Brien substituting for Bruce Birch. I want to thank everybody. A number of callers tonight, can't even count them. I want to thank you so very, very much. I hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Stick with the Head On Radio Network. You can't do better. I mean that. This is Bill O'Brien. I wish you all peace. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
I could never forget how reality came down around us like some Western movie set.